Hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You are so worthy. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, all that you're going to do. We praise you. You do deserve the glory. You are the one that is worthy to open the book. You can open the seals, and you open those seals through us. We're grateful, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say this, so I'm going to call this out. If you're here and you have fear of, or you just maybe have symptoms of an inherited mix. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you go to the doctor and they ask you what your parents died of, some of you are like, I don't know, but they do. They ask you who had what. If you have any symptoms that your parents had or your grandparents had, or you have fear of what they have, come down here right now, because you're going to step over into another place today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anyone? You may not have fear about it, but you know that it just, you need to never go there. You want to know why? Because you have a father. You have a father. You have his DNA. So this is going to be over today. It's going to be over. So if you have to fill out anything else, you can say, nope. Jesus' name. You are not inheriting the death. Jesus' name. By the way, there's someone here and you have fear of death, and God will deliver you today from fear of death too. You need to come down here too, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so right now, here it is. It's over. No more, forever. No more, forever. No more, forever. No more, forever. In Jesus' name, take it all. You're not going the way your parent went. You're going the way of God. No more, forever. It's over. You stepped over that line in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. If you need prayer for your body, come on down and we'll pray for you right now. Anybody else? Just for any reason, if something's hurting on you, somebody has joint pain, you need to come down here. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. That sinus thing that keeps coming back, you need to come down here. Anything you're coping with, just coping. Don't cope. The anointing removes the burden. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you for that. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. We'll start right here. In Jesus' name. 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 In His name. In the name. In the name of Jesus, the anointing right now. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. No man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. In Jesus' name. this is a little unusual. We're going to do it. If you're here and you feel like age is making you weaker or, quote, feel older, come down here right now. And Avery, you come here, please, and help me. I want you to help me. You should stay down. Anyone you feel like age is wearing on you, here's what I heard the Lord say. Your youth will be renewed right now. So you better come. 50 up. Your youth is going to be renewed right now. And the anointing that is on Avery is going to pass to you. Okay? Now, this is what we do. Come on, Danny. So, Danny's going to be on that side. I'm going to be on this side. When you lay hands on them, we're going to do point of contact. Just release your faith. I feel the anointing on you right now. Okay. Ready? You go for their head. Ready? Go. Youth.
You were worthy of it all.
Youth.
From you are.
Youth.
To you are all things.
Receive it. Youth.
You deserve the glory.
Youth.
You were worthy of it all.
Watch your ushers.
To all things,
yeah.
You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. Yes, you are. You're worthy of it all. All of my praise, all from you all. The glory, you worthy of it all. You worthy of it all. Oh, from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Praise God. Bible promised youth.
That's right.
It's a benefit.
Yeah.
It's a benefit. Thank you, Lord, for it. Those of you that are 30, you need to be saying Psalm, you need to do Psalm 103 every day. My youth is renewed like the eagles. That's what you need to be saying. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. You get a mic. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Wayne, will you come up here real quick, actually? So when I was praying for you,
Yes.
I didn't hear you. Yes, ma'am. When I was praying for you, I saw your ears on fire. And when I saw that, it was as if a new hearing was coming to you. And I don't think it's just for you, but I think it's significant for you for it to move through the body. And so, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that there is a new hearing coming through this generation.
Yeah.
Father, I thank you that the spiritual ears are on fire for God. They're on fire to hear. They're on fire to receive. And it comes forth in the name of Jesus.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, teamwork. That was good. What a flow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? Whew. Thank you, Lord. What do you want to do now, Lord? Hey, we're not following the bulletin. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor John said, rocks, don't ever do bulletins that end up on the floor on the way out of church. Just do the announcements. So we listened. Amen. He taught us a lot of good things. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 The inheritances that were lost come in 2024. You need to put your faith on that. The ones that were stolen. There's a number of people here, your inheritance was stolen by someone. And you forgave them, of course.
Right.
But, yeah, they're coming. They're coming. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's draw some names. Praise the Lord. Stay in the Holy Ghost though, because we're going to continue in that. So, If you're new or you don't know what's going on, this is Pastor's giveaway of her favorite things that I think will become your favorite things because they're so very good. Okay? So, here we go. You got your ticket?
Yes.
Okay. Here's the winner. 248. Oh, it must be mine. What happens here? Okay.
Unless they're the ones in the.
It must be in the children's church. They lose again.
They're winning. 224.
They're winning. No, I'm kidding. Come on, Jesse. 224. We're all winners, of course. Okay, go to the tree and pick out your gift. We trust you that it's on there. She said, bring in the ticket, like, how sweet. Okay. Come on, come on, you just have to open it. All right. See what she got. Okay.
Church.
Oh, okay. It was her dad's ticket. He's in children's church.
I love it.
See, I'm telling you, this is led by the Spirit here. 231. Come on, Candace. So did any of your family call you Candy?
My grandmother got away with it.
Really? go get
the
you.
Only reason why.
Okay, so yeah. No. Don't call her Candy. Cause Candace. You just had the Holy Ghost right there. Now. You know what that is? This is my very favorite Christmas CD. It's called Celtic celebration. It's really good. You're really going to love it. In fact, that's the last one that exists on Amazon. They're really hard to find. So I have hidden copies. Okay. 236. 236. Come on. All right. Okay. See what she got. All right. It's got the pretty wrapping paper and everything. It's in an Amazon box, but because I found the Amazon box. It'll open easy. It's not sealed like Amazon does it.
I need all the help I can get.
Here.
I left my strength in the car. Oh, wow.
See? Look at there.
Aww. Wow. Bless coming and going.
There you go. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Amanda. And so there's, for next week, there's several gifts left. Let's see how many are left. 1, 2, 3. There's 5 gifts left. Because I have some more coming, so we'll do another one. Y'all just like to win, don't you? They don't call us victory for nothing. 194. 194? Oh,
Jesse is coming.
Oh, is this yours or whose? Okay. Okay, so let's see. I'm going to help you. Don't do those two little ones. Nothing. Oh, this is the very best gift under the tree. John will confirm. Now, you're not going to know what they are, probably. Okay. They're zip ties. Am I right? Am I right? Zip ties. You need to take these with you to college.
I will.
Really? I'm serious. Yeah. Zip ties work everywhere. Who can witness that? See, zip ties. I mean, we hold our fence up until we go get the wire with the zip tie. And then John goes get the wire. But we start with the zip tie because... You did? See? I mean, it's almost daily. It's almost daily. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Grab your Bibles here. It is fun, isn't it? Actually, one of the very best prizes is still under the tree, so y'all need to get your faith out there. It has to do with steak. So, just a hint. All right, let's go over to Malachi 3:8. Jordan's going to come and lead us in the offering, but I wanted to talk to you about this because the Lord told me to. So I'll just take just a minute. I actually made this for Pursuing Truth, but I'm going to give you just a little bit of it today. So Malachi 3:8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." It just amazes me how often we hear people wasting their energy arguing whether or not tithing is a New Testament doctrine. And I want to tell you that it is a New Testament doctrine. And I just hear people say this, like, well, we're not under the law. We're not under the law. Church, the tithe was not under the law. The tithe wasn't under the law. Cain and Abel brought. Actually, the tree that they weren't supposed to eat of was the devoted thing. That was God's. And then Cain and Abel, Cain trying, Abel was, did it right. They brought their tithe. We always see the tithe. And when Abraham came along, we see him actually going to, when he wins the battle with the kings, we see him going to Melchizedek, who has a right to receive the tithe, right? He said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thy enemies into thy hands. So he's blessing Abraham to be the possessor. And then he's blessing God, right? So what we see then, and then it says that he gave tithes of all, tithes. T-I-T-H. Okay. See, some people think it's T-I-E-S or tithes, or that's a detergent. But so tithing did not come with the law. It came with God. And we see that Achan, wait, remember Achan? He kept what they called it, the cursed thing. That translates out the devoted thing. When he took the devoted thing, they began to lose the wars. So it's a serious thing to honor God with a tithe. It's all about honor. Amen. Now, so what do we have in the New Testament? Just real quickly before Jordan comes. Hebrews 7:1 says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom, this is written in the New Testament, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, okay, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them, what's this talking about now? He whose genealogy is not derived from them received the tithes of Abraham and blessed him, and who had the promises. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here mortal men receive tithes. Listen, here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed he lives, the one that was resurrected from the dead, right? Okay, so here's the point. Melchizedek was not a Levite. He was before Levites. The Levites were the ones who became the priest, who were commanded to receive the tithe. But Melchizedek is before that. They came out of him. Okay? So, in other words, he did not have the birthright to be a priest. Jesus came out of Judah. He's not a Levite. But he is after the order of Melchizedek. He is named high priest. He right now is the high priest of all. Amen. And so he now has the right forever to be the high priest over your tithe. So he's high priesting. He manages your confession. He manages your offerings. He manages your tithe. He's the high priest. He's doing it right now. He said over in the Gospels to them, he says, you are so picky about tithing down to the mint and this and that, and you forget to do the loftier things. So he's not saying don't do that. He's saying you're good at doing this, but do this. Yeah. So people take that and go, well, see, he's saying that wasn't important. No, he's not. It was important. He's saying do this like you do that. Yeah. Amen. So tithing is absolutely New Testament. What we actually see here Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, right? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon who? Us. Come upon us. So you actually can try to wrangle with that, but the truth is Jesus has done it all. He's done it all, but you still have a part to play. It'd be silly to think that we do nothing. And, you know, the grace stuff put people in the ditch a lot, but I think most people have come back to understand God is a checker player. He moves, you move. He moves you. He gave you what you got. He gave you your paycheck. You give him 10 cents on the dollar, and he makes that thing not get devoured. And also, he opens the windows of heaven so that everything you sow into the kingdom works. Yeah. So here's the point that I wanted to say here. Is that the tithe didn't begin with the law. The law explained the procedure.
Oh, that's good.
Okay? So there's no breakup here. This is not them going, the law explained everything. He had to make the law because they wouldn't follow the Spirit of God. They wouldn't follow His glory. So they had to do things out of their flesh. So they needed procedure all the time.
Wow.
Amen. Praise the Lord. They needed the bulletin, okay? So, amen. So the tithe keeps you flowing, keeps the blessing flowing on your life. Melchizedek blessed him. It empowered it. It empowered the blessing. Can the blessing not be empowered? Well, let's see. There are a lot of people born again right now who are broke and busted. Why? Well, I mean, if you have the blessing on you since Christ did it, then so you have it on you, then why wouldn't it be working? Because you got to do something. You have to live by faith that the blessing is working. And faith without works is dead. You without corresponding action is dead, meaning we correspond with our faith to work with our finances with God. I think we got a good deal. I don't know about y'all. I think we got a good deal. Come on, Jordan. Praise the Lord.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Pastor, for giving me an opportunity. And if everybody can please stand and join me in this confession over our tithes and offerings. All right. Lord, I bring my tithe and offering to you as an act of worship. I honor you with my tithe and offering today as the source of my supply. As a tither, I declare the windows of heaven are open unto me. I receive blessings being poured out to me in such a manner that I do not have room enough to receive it. I receive the promise of the scripture that protects those who tithe. No devourer or destroyer is allowed access to steal my harvest in Jesus' name. As a giver, I stand in the promise that says, as I give, it is given unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. People are always giving to me because I am a giver. I declare I always have more than enough, excess, and overflow, and every need I will ever have shall be provided for in Jesus' name. I am wearing the blessing. I am wearing a mantle of increase. I prophesy increase and overflow. I decree that each year my finances grow to another level of increase and abundance in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, if you'd like to text to give, you can text VCHL and the amount you'd like to give to 73256. Thank you.
Come on, ushers. You may be seated and serve the people. Hallelujah. God is good. How many of you have been Christmas shopping? All right. Did you get my list and it's going well? And nah. You didn't get it. I didn't send one. How many of y'all shop Amazon for gifts? Yeah. It's handy, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Both. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Hallelujah. Well, gift giving is really a part of Christmas. It's what we do. People are like, oh, we shouldn't give gifts. We just worship. Well, you know, I think we should give gifts because we're givers. And I think it's important. And I don't feel like we need to do it out of some legalistic reason or because we have to. I like to do it because I love. And I know you do too. You just like to give gifts. Amen. God gave gifts. And one of the greatest gifts that he ever gave Victory Church is Danny Schaefer. Please welcome Danny.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. It's a good day to be in the house of God. Amen. Pastor, thank you for sharing this with me. I do not take it lightly, and I'm so grateful that I get to be a part of this house, and I get to be a part of this family, and I'm so thankful for you and all that you pour into my life. So it's Christmas time. Amen. And the most important part of Christmas is Jesus. There's no denying that. And I want to stay, my whole message is that his name is Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Amen. And so we're going to walk through, Pastor told you last week, we're going to walk through John. So let's start there. John chapter 1. And I have a note to myself on here, which I saw kind of winding throughout this message, but the Lord had shown me a few years back that, you know, the way that your walk with the Lord starts, there's normally something in it that's a key part to the purpose of your life. And so the way that he called you in, that drew you in to truly devote your life to God, not just the moment you were saved, but when you actually gave your life to him. For some people, that was the same day. For other people, they got saved when they were a child. They got lost and wandered for a while. And then eventually someday they really devoted themselves to God and lived a life for God. And in that, you can see how their purpose plays out. And so I made a note to myself that when John was called, it says that he was mending nets. He was bringing things together. And you'll see the way that he sees here, the way that Jesus has brought the love and the life of God back in to hope for mankind, back into the life of humanity. So we're not really going there, but while you were turning, I just thought I'd tell you that. All right, John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning of this chapter, we see that it says the Word was God. The Word was God. There is no disputing the text that Jesus himself was God. Jesus is the Word, and the Word was God. It doesn't say that he was part of God. It doesn't say he was a solution that God sent just because man made some mistakes. It doesn't just say that he came as only part of it. No, Jesus was God. And the Word came into the earth and put on flesh. The significance of that. Don't allow that to escape your thinking. Don't allow Jesus to just be a small part. I'm going to get ahead of myself, so I'm going to go back to my notes. It's imperative that we see God himself put on flesh and came in this earth. He put on flesh to bring us life. We see in verse 4, this is really our text for these days, is in him was life and the life was the light of men. So Jesus became flesh to bring us life. In him was life. Not just any kind of life, the God kind of life. Not just the breathing, surviving, getting by kind of life. If you go look up that word, it's the word Zoe. Jesus is life. He is your breathing in and your breathing out. You know that there's even studies that show that when you breathe, you're actually breathing the sounds, yeah. He is your very breath of life. He is life in all essence of who you were created to be. Real eternal life only flows from one source. And his name is Jesus. Eternal life is not only that you're going to exist forever. Everyone will exist forever. Eternal life is that you will exist forever with God. John 17:3 says that eternal life is to know and experience the Father and to know and experience the Son who he sent. So it's not just about living forever. You're already going to do that. It's living forever with or without God. So when you look up eternal life in the Greek words, eternal is perpetual or without beginning or without end. It's the life of a spirit being created to live. But your spirit being doesn't live if you don't receive Jesus. Life is defined by Spiros as a Greek word study of life, referring to the principle of life in the spirit and soul. Distinguished from bios, physical life, Zoe is a nobler word, expressing all the highest and best which Christ is and which he gives to the saints. The highest blessedness of a creature. You see, Jesus had to come and bring back what was lost in the garden. The fall that took place in the garden, Genesis 2, 16 and 17, I think Jess will put it up there. It says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you will surely die." Well, we can see that man did not drop down his physical body right there in the garden, right? No, it was at that point that their life with God was severed. Their time with him, the intimate acquaintance that they had with him was taken apart. And if you go look at the text, it actually says, dying, you will die. So in that moment, the dying process began. They did not die in the sense that their body fell over to the ground, but they were then separated with God and a death cycle set in on the inside of them. That's why redemptive works had to be put into place so that they could continue to move, because at that moment, separation had taken place with God. And so we see that in chapter 3, they ate the fruit. Well, in the same way when you cut down a tree, if I went outside and cut down a tree, I don't know that there's any nearby, I cut down a tree, it falls to the ground, it's not going to immediately look dead. But the life source has been completely taken away from it. And so that tree can no longer live with the life source it had because it had been severed. And so it was completely taken apart. This is kind of what happened in the garden. The life source had been taken from that place. And we see God interacting with man, but it's not in the way that was taking place in the garden. I wasn't sure if I was going to go here, so the Lord was talking to me this morning, and we see that in the garden, we know that if you've been here for any amount of time, that man and that Adam and Eve were not completely naked. They were wearing the glory, but they were still naked in a sense. They were still vulnerable. They were still open. They were still intimate with God in that way. But the moment that intimacy was removed with God, that's when vulnerability and shame showed up. So it was that intimacy part that was severed in that place. That relationship where they had that vulnerability, that ability to just come to Him at the cool of the day, to come and be in His presence, to come and be in His Spirit, was taken away. Well, when Jesus came, He restored that tree to us. He restored that place to us. You see, it's not a matter of just going to heaven or going to hell. It's a matter of with or with God. Hell isn't just a fiery pit. It is a fiery pit, but it's not just that. It's a life completely without God. A life completely without goodness, because there is no good gift separate from God. There is no good creation separate from God. There is no trees of the, you know, there's no trees of the field. There's no birds. There's no fish. There's no animals. There's no other people that you're in relationship with. It's a life completely without Him. And so often we make hell of just a place of going to burn in fire, but, and it is, there is a pit of fire. The Word tells us that. But it's completely severed from God. Completely severed from life. It's so much further than just a devil with a pitchfork. And so when Jesus came, He came to restore all of that to you. Jesus gave us the access back to life. He came into this world born as a baby so that you would have access to that tree of life. He restored our connection to that life source. He restored our connection. What was the tree of life for? It was to go and receive revelation, to spend time with God, to be with God, to understand the things of earth and to understand the things of heaven. That it wouldn't be that you were just walking aimlessly trying to figure it out on your own, but you have a direct connection to the Creator. Who knows how something works better than the Creator? If you build it yourself, don't you know how it works better than a person who just has to come in and figure it out on their own? You better, that's right. There's something to knowing the one who created it all. Knowing the one that it all works out. And the thing is that we get so caught up in the things that come out of knowing the Creator. Do we take time to know the Creator? I see in this time that the church is spending so much time on, well, we just have to make community. Well, we just have to make this. Well, we just have to do that. Well, we're going to look like this. Well, we're going to look like this. Well, we'll get more people if we do it like this. The church was created because of Jesus, for Jesus. If you take Jesus out of the church, you don't have a church. The Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus you want Him to be, not the Jesus you created in your imagination, not the Jesus that makes everyone else happy, not the Jesus that says, oh, it's okay, we can all... No, the Jesus of the Bible is required for the church. And so if we're falling out of love with the Jesus of the Bible, church cannot happen. Life cannot take place. Jesus is required for life in the house, from the head, in the body. And if we're going to stand faithful, if we're going to stand firm, if we're going to have victory in this time in the earth, He better be first. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So remember that the first thing God did after they sinned, he put angels at the gate of Eden with firing swords. Remember it said, and that he wouldn't allow them to that tree. Why? Because that place was then dangerous. That place to receive that information was then dangerous. That place to gain those things was now dangerous because the intimacy that once was had been removed by them choosing to separate themselves from God. And we know that we know that when they were building Babel, it says they could create all things still. That's why he created confusion amongst the language. And so there was needing to be an intimacy in order to have revelation. Revelation was never to be received outside of relationship. It was never to be that we would expand our ways in the kingdom of God without relationship with the Father. So Jesus brought life to us and opened the gates, and he tore the veil that gave us access again. When that veil was torn, when it was rent from heaven to earth, remember, from heaven to earth, the gates were opened and intimacy was restored once again. The life that was in him is our connection to the Spirit of life. He was given to us because of Jesus. He is the one who reveals to us the ways of heaven. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life who teaches us the ways of our redemption and how to walk out everything that was given to us because of the access granted by Jesus. Father, I just thank you right now that our hearts are open to receive. Father, I just give us over to you. That we clearly hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us. That we clearly hear your words, Father. Father, that you are moving and operating through us right now. That the revelation that you promised through the intimacy and the relationship that you've given to us. That the connection reestablished through the life of Jesus. Father, we are so thankful. We are so thankful for Jesus. We are so thankful for what he's done and what he's doing. We're so thankful for this moment and this time that we can know you more as you've promised. That we could walk further and deeper into the moving and the things of God. We thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He gave us the ability to know the places we had access granted. That we weren't just to get by, not to just be surviving. Life is not surviving. Life isn't just getting through the day to the next day. Life is about being abundant. Thank you, Lord. Life is speaking on your behalf right now. The Spirit of life is talking for you right now. Whatever you are in right now, whatever you are walking through right now, this season, this day, the Spirit of life is telling you how to get to the next place. The Spirit of life is talking through you to get you to where you need to be. Deuteronomy 30 tells us that life and death has been placed before us, blessing and cursing, to choose life. That's what the Spirit of life is telling to you. How do I get to the next place? How do I choose life in this situation? How do I choose life to get to the next door that's open for me? We have an opportunity to choose life every day. Not just what the world calls life, but the God kind of life. The life that we saw Jesus walk out. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. This is that same word. It's not just abundance in one area, but in every area. If you look it up, it's super abundance, excessive, overflowing, surplus, over and above, more than enough. Extraordinary. Your life should be super abundant. It should be excessive. It should be extraordinary. The only way that you can find this is through Jesus. The gifts of the Spirit, the moving of God in your family, the moving of God in your household, the way that harvest comes to you, all the excess and overflow is found in Him. He came to bring you a life that wasn't just what the world can offer. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like I need to do a Jesse Duplantis and tell everybody to get up and shake it off for a minute. Very serious in here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Real life like this is only found one place. His name is Jesus. Jesus is all, and therefore He can't be a part. This morning, Pastor was giving a word of talking about dreams coming down like manna from heaven. And I think so often we try to get these dreams and we try to make Jesus a part of our dreams. But He who is all can't be a part. Jesus isn't to be part of your dreams. Jesus to be the beginning of your dream. Jesus is the dream, and in that you walk out what it is that He's telling you to do. You flow with that spirit of life to move in what He's calling you to do. He's everything. He's all that you are needing. He isn't just part of the answer. He is the answer. He isn't just part of what you're looking for. He is what you're looking for. People are saying, this phrase has went anywhere, of people living their best life. Oh, we're just living our best life. Oh, we're just living our best life. Have you ever noticed that people who are living their best life are living a life of sin? The people who are most likely saying that, or who are saying that frequently in the world, when they're doing that, they're out doing something that is sinful. There is no life in that. That is a lie. If your best life is sinning, that equals death. The wages of sin is death. Sin does not lead to life. If you think that there is more enjoyment in sin, if you think there's more fun in sin, then you haven't truly met Jesus. Jesus isn't about just following rules. Jesus isn't about just coming to a place on Sunday and Wednesday and sitting and listening or sleeping. It's not about just showing up and checking a box. There is more fulfillment in Him than any person you've ever met. You will never find the fulfillment in a spouse. You will never find the fulfillment in a child. You will never find the fulfillment in a parent. You will never find the fulfillment in a friend. He is the completion of it all. Not only is He worthy of it all, He is the completeness of it all. And I've heard a minister say who I follow very closely because I don't even know the right word to tell you, but I want what He has. The intimacy with God He has, not just God, the intimacy He has with Jesus, the value He places on Jesus, the time He spends with Jesus, the way He speaks about Jesus. I'm hungry for it. And He went to Dr. Oral Roberts. And he said, "Doc, you should call my ministry." I don't know if he said this to him, but this was his story of kind of how it went, and hopefully I get somewhere close. If not, I didn't give you a name, so you can't call and tell him. Praise the Lord. But he said, you should call my house, or you should say of my church, if you want to come and get healed, don't come. If you want to come and get prosperous, don't come. Because I pray for people and they walk out sicker than when they came in, and I can't understand what's happening. Basically, he was saying, I know what is supposed to be happening and it's not happening. And you know what Oral Roberts told him? Meet Jesus. And he said, I met Jesus when I was 11. And he said, you need to meet Jesus. He went and saw another advisor. And he said, I'm praying for the sick and they're not getting healed. I'm praying for this and it's not getting done. I'm calling people in and I'm calling for life and they're still dying. What do I need to do? And this other person said, you need to meet Jesus. If you aren't seeing the results that you know are true for the word in your life, maybe you need to meet Jesus. Meeting Jesus isn't just about one day of gaining salvation. Meeting Jesus should be happening every day of your life. There should be an everyday appointment with you and him to sit down and spend time together. There should be an everyday appointment where you are getting into the Word of God and finding out more about him. There should be an everyday appointment where you're saying, what can I do for you? He is life. Life is not provision. Life is in the provider. And when you meet him, provision comes. Life is not in healing. Life is in the healer. And when you meet the healer, healing comes. Life is not in the peace. Life is not in the joy. Life is not even in love. It is in Jesus, and when you meet him, all of those things come with. Whatever it is that you're searching for. And I just want to say this. If you're thinking, Danny, I've been doing this longer than you've been alive. I know Jesus. You're probably the one who needs to go meet with him. Because if you're not still hungry for Jesus today, if you're not still hungry to know him more today, you're doing it wrong. Am I bold enough to, yeah, I have an office. I'll go hide back there after service is over if I have to. It's the truth. Every day. Do you know what it says in Revelation? It says that every day you should be hungry and thirsty. The one who's crying out, the bride who is crying out, is still hungry and thirsty for her husband to come. Is that not who you are? Are you not hungry for more of him? If you're not, don't answer. There is no true answer outside of Jesus. Every sin, every difficulty, every disaster is found in him. He was the life, and the life was the light of men. The creator of the universe put on flesh to give you life. The King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one in whom all things were made. Think about that. All things were made in him. And there was not a thing that was made without him. All things, everything that you can think of, could only come by him. And he was willing to put on flesh to be a man so you could have life, so you could be with God. Think of the greatness of that. Think of the grandness of that. The one who made the mountains. Have you went and stood in the mountains and saw the majestic just views of what that looks like? Or stood by the ocean and saw the vastness of that, the grains of sand, the one who created all of that was willing to put on flesh and become a baby so you could have life. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is the image, Colossians 1:15 says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The scriptures tell us he was the first to bring reconciliation of us all. Those scriptures go on to say he was the firstborn, and he was the firstborn so that we could have reconciliation with God. So we could live a life like Jesus. Jesus took the tomb that was created for us with a life of sin and death. And he turned it into a womb of a new birth as a new creation. He took our tomb and made it a womb that we could live. We could have life as a new creation. It would have been impressive for God to come as God. It would have been impressive if he would have showed up and light beams shone from heaven and he just stood out on a stage and said, I'm here. But he didn't. He put on flesh and came as a baby. He put on flesh and came as a man so you could see the life that you were supposed to live. So you could see how you could be filled with the Spirit of God and walk like Jesus walked in the earth. So you could see that signs and wonders and miracles could be done at your hand when you were in line with the Spirit of life. So you could be moved by the impulses of the Spirit to flow and know what to do throughout your entire day, that your life could be victorious. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you. I think one of the greatest revelations I ever had is when I realized that, I'm not going to do this, is when I realized that God didn't love me because he had to. He didn't. He didn't love me because he had to. He loved me because he wanted to. He wants you. Not just you're another number to him. No, he sees you and he wants you. He wanted you so bad. He created you himself in his own imagination and placed you in this earth that you would choose to be reconciled back to him. He saw you, he knew you, and he wanted you. And he wants you to experience eternal life, not just existing forever, but being forever in relationship with him. Jesus is the only way for you to be a child of God. As if I haven't said enough stuff to poke, I'll just poke a little bit more. If you have any religion, this is sure to rub it. Not every human is a child of God. Every human has the opportunity to be a child of God. Red and yellow, black and white. Jordan started singing the song to me the other day. They are all precious in his sight. But they're not all children of God. That's not what the scripture says. I just closed it. Go figure. The scripture says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who are not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So will you receive him? Will you receive him? I don't think it's just a one-time thing of when you were 11 years old, you received him. No, will you receive him today? Will you make time for him in your day? Will you go through your days and know there's someone who wants me? He loves me. He's there for me. He's calling to me. Will you receive it? Will you be a part of his life like he wants to be a part of your life? Fall in love with him again today. Fall into his arms again today. Make a choice to be with him again today. And I actually have make time for him today, but he said today, will you spend every morning with me? Will you be with me every day? That's what he said through the prophetic word this morning. Will you be with me every day? I just am compelled to say one more time to not seek after the stuff without seeking after the one who created it. It's important. He wants you to have it. He wants you to be a witness to the world. He wants you to live healed. He wants you to live in joy. He wants you to have a great marriage. He wants you to have good things. But he died so you would be with him. And the stuff without him is not going to be fulfilling. He is everything you need. He is provider. He is savior. He is healer. He is deliverer. He is sufferer. He is shepherd. He is best friend. He is lover. He is the prince of peace. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the husband, the servant, and the warrior. Everything you could need today, you can find in him. He is everything, and there's no one like him. And I look around the room and I'm pretty confident that everyone in here has received him as Savior. And if you haven't, I'm happy to meet with you after and we will pray the prayer of salvation together. But I'm asking you to meet him today. Meet him today. Be on purpose in this season and in every season that we see the vastness of the price he paid that he could just be in relationship with you. That he could just be with you. He loves you. He wants you. And he has everything that you're looking for. Amen. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you sent your son. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us everything in Jesus. Father, we thank you that we do not go through our days overlooking or just making it a cliche or a catchy phrase of Jesus is the reason of the season. No, Jesus is the reason for everything. He's not just the reason for this season. He is the reason for everything. And so, Father, we completely give ourselves over to you, asking you to make us aware, Holy Spirit, every time that we lose our place and lose the focus of Jesus. Father, I just ask that every person who's seated here has a Jesus encounter today, that there's a fresh baptism of the love of God. There's a fresh baptism of an experience, an encounter with Jesus himself. That they know you a little deeper today because of an encounter that comes over them. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you. Jesus, he's the answer to everything. He is the answer. I mean, if you have him, you have the answer. So how are you going to do that? How are you going to meet him? How do you do that? Meet, not just when Danny's saying that, she's not just saying meet him like for the first time. She's saying go meet him. Go meet with him like I would go meet and have lunch with Art. Go meet him. How are you going to do that? I'll tell you. Look. Start looking for him. Start looking for him. Well, what do I look for? Well, there's a lot of ways. Number one, when you start worshiping God, you're starting to look for him. Lord, I just praise you today. I thank you, Jesus. I praise you. Another thing is just look out your window sometimes. Just look out your window. Deb has a pet dove at her window. And so the dove wants to eat there, you know, where the bird feeders are. And that dove, so the food ran out. And so the dove came over and started tapping on the window. And so Deb went around there and fed out the feeders and everything. And so she went off to do something. And I walked out there and there's that dove out there by herself, I think. I think it's she was eating the food. She knows. That's God. Just look for him. And then you just go, look at that, Lord. Just look. And just start walking off with him into the garden there. You just have to look for him and you'll find him. I was watching I guess it was a YouTube, and a little bitty kid this big is in an aquarium. And he walked, did you see it? And the little kid walks up to the aquarium, and here comes a dolphin. And a dolphin comes out and wiggles at the kid and then flips over and is smiling and stays right there with the baby and does, and plays with the baby. That's God. That's God. And the mama's saying, he likes you, honey. And I'm like, yeah, somebody else likes you too. Amen. I mean, you can see God in so many things if you'll just look. If you start looking, you'll start meeting. You'll start meeting him. You can look around this room and find God. You can look around this room. I watch Jesse Hernandez walk in, and I found God in him this morning. He walks around and hugs every person. Every person. Every person he's hugging. And I think, that's God. He comes to every one of us, men and women alike. And they're all men. They're beating on each other like football players and stuff. He doesn't do that to us. But you can find God in each other. Meet with him. That's a good word. It's so true. And that's where your life comes from. But you have to look. If you're just going to look at fussy stuff, you'll miss it. If you don't look beyond, sometimes you have to look beyond things. Amen. You have to look beyond. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. You have to look beyond your attitude. You have to look beyond your attitude about people. You have to look beyond thinking that you're higher quality than people. You have to look behind thinking you're better than people. You have to look beyond thinking you know more than people. Yes, you do. You need to. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The life and the light of God is in our presence right now, and he's sparking every heart, sparking every heart. All we have to do is receive it. We just have to get out of the way sometimes of our flesh. That was a good word, such a good word. We really do need to heed that word. Everything is in him. Everything's in him. Every deer that walks out, every child that walks into the classroom, every client that you see needs that life. And it got delivered to you today to take out this week. Amen. Just before we stand up, I want you to remember next Sunday night is the party. And the children have something fun for us. And it's going to be good. And I have something fun for us. You're going to enjoy it. And so please sign up back there to bring a dish. And Jesse and I discovered something very amazing. Nobody signed up for a dessert. Did you? Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Just bring enough for 100 people. You got it. No, I'm kidding. So be sure and sign up for those dishes. And we're going to have a lot of fun. And then the next time, let's see, leaders, in case you haven't seen the Facebook, Friday night is our meeting. You have to bring a white elephant gift. It's a wild party, I tell you, with those white elephant gifts. But anyway, that's for the team leaders. We'll be having a meeting at our house, having a party. So be sure to come to that. Be sure and come next Sunday. Be sure and come next Sunday night to the party. And then we will have Wednesday the next as usual. And then we'll have a 10 to 10:40 meeting, 10:40, believe it or not. I'm going to pull that off. Okay? Well, I can do it. It'll be like, you know, other kind of churches do. I can make it. We can do it. So we'll have short church on Christmas Eve, and then that will be the last service we will have until New Year's Eve. We will not have that Wednesday night service. So if you haven't seen that, be sure and put that on your calendar that we shut the church office down between Christmas and New Year's. And so we're just going to go ahead and shut the church down that night because a lot of people are traveling. How many of you are traveling? Praise the Lord. Where are you going? Where are you going?
Washington State.
Washington State. Anybody else? Y'all are all staying home? We could have had church. Where are you going? Nina's going to Branson. You're going to Branson. Oh, wow. She just figured that out, didn't she? Oh, yeah, I'm going. It's funny. How many have relatives coming? Praise the Lord. All right, let's stand up. Praise God. Everybody's good? Amen. Anything else, Dan? Yeah, the New Year's Eve service, of course, we'll have normal church on New Year's Eve morning. The New Year's Eve service is at 6 o'clock. That won't be preaching. That will be prophesying, praying, and praising and worshiping. Okay? Huh?
There will be
child care. So we'll all be able to do that together. So we'll bring in the new year and it'll be good because 2024 is a year like never before. And we're not saying that just because it's a rhyme. It will be. And you can see the success coming for America right now. You can see it. Oh, I forgot to tell you about the girls. Give me 60 seconds. So the girls in Israel are having the greatest adventure. They actually went to Gaza.
Wow.
So they helped some people down there. We had pictures, but we didn't get them up. Did we get the pictures up? Okay. So we'll bring them to you next time. But they are having a ball with Miss Billy. They're in Shiloh today. Y'all know Shiloh? That's where they're out there. And that's where Hannah prayed for her baby. Okay. So, and many other things happened. So, they're out there. And, I understand, I think they've already been to Galilee and a few other places. But they actually went to a kibbutz where they were, they're helping people. They pulled weeds to help the farmers because all the farmers are soldiers right now. So, Billy told, Susanna that, Deb, are you here? Can you tell that?
As they were getting on one of the tour buses, Billy told Susanna, all the people here in Israel will remember your bravery and your courage and your love because you came at such a time like this. And Billy wrote in her blog that she said, everywhere we go, you can visibly see the gratefulness and the love of God on their faces as we came to help.
Amen. 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 Praise God. So we're doing good there. So keep the girls in prayer. And they're not in any danger. They're in God's will. You're not in danger if you're in God's will.
That is exactly right.
So it just looks like they're having a good time. And Susanna seems to be getting to talk to Miss Billy a lot. So that's a blessing too.
Yeah.
So it's good. We're in a good place. Some good things are happening. But your year's going to be good if you'll just receive it and receive that life and meet with Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you guys.